One of my desires as a pastor is that each and every one of us would walk in God's power and plan for your life right now. God doesn't live in time and space. God is eternal. Everything in God's world is now. He doesn't have yesterday. He doesn't have tomorrow. He only has now. He sees everything. He's the beginning and the end. What does that look like in our life?
This is the Now Principle with Pastor Chris Gleason, lead pastor of Revolution, a Foursquare church that meets in Harvard Square, Cambridge, Mass. Join us today as we step into the Now Principle with Pastor Chris, where we ask the question, what will you let God do right now?
You know, we started a sermon series 2 weeks ago. Anybody can tell me what the name of the series is? The Now Principle. And the idea is that God doesn't live in our time and space. He sees everything as now. He doesn't call us to allow His Spirit to work in our life someday, but right now. The things God wants to do in your life, He wants to do now. The things He wants to do through your life, He wants to do now. And so instead of thinking about what it could have been or what will be, saying, Lord, what needs to be? What will be? What do I need to walk in now? I don't know about you, but I'm a natural procrastinator, especially about things I don't want to do. I think that's usually why we procrastinate, right? Do we ever really procrastinate? Gosh, I'm really hungry, but I think I'll just wait a couple days. Or, wow, I want to go buy some, you know, new shoes. I think I'll wait a month. No, I mean, the things we want to do, somehow we just always make them happen. But yes, we procrastinate about the things that are hard or the things that we don't want to do. And many times that's the way it works even in our walk with the Lord. I mean, how many of you ever just go, you know, I just spend way too much time praying. I spend too much time reading the Word. I spend too much time serving people in the love of Jesus Christ. I mean, is there anybody that, you know, that's really your problem? I would say for all of us, the answer would probably be no. Because somehow it's easy to procrastinate about things that we know actually benefit us. How many times do you hear somebody go, man, I'm going to start working out next month. I'm going to go on a diet next week. I'm going to do this. Many times the things that are actually good for us, they're always someday. Well, I'm here to tell you that God is about now. Because God sees everything like this. From time beginning to time end, He sees it now. Now, we can't comprehend that because our minds are finite and everything we know has a beginning and has an end. But one of the names for God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is it. He decided when time started, He decides when time ends. But He doesn't live inside of it. And in a spiritual sense, neither do we. We're supposed to say, God, you're not held back by anything. We're held back by all kinds of stuff. I don't have enough money to do that. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough this. I'm not tall enough. I'm not whatever. We're held back by all kinds of things, but God is held back by nothing. Yet many times, the very things that hold us back, we put onto God. Well, God, how could you use me? Who am I, God? When God says, I've called you, I've chosen you, I have a plan for your life. So today, we're going to talk about, now is the time to engage. Do we have anybody in here that has been or is in the military? Anybody? Corey? Corey, what's the first thing they do when you go into basic training? Now, why do they shave your head? Just to embarrass you, to make you feel stupid? But what's a deeper purpose than that? Because it starts there and then it continues through basic training. What's the basic goal of basic training? And how do they do that? Beat your will out of you. Is that right? So that when your commanding officer says jump, you say how high. When they say do this, you do it. You don't ever ask, right? I mean, what happens when you question your CO? Exactly. From the very moment, and the reason they shave your head is because, yeah, not only do you all look the same, but, you know, if you're not planning on losing your hair today, you're kind of feeling a little bit, you know, naked, you know? It's like, whoa, can I put on a hat? Because most of us don't really look good without hair. That's why we thank God that most of us have hair, right? But their purpose, their job is to break your will. So it's no longer what you want, but whatever they want for you. In fact, one of the biggest challenges, Corey could probably relate to that too, is if you've been in the military and then you go back into civilian life, which is where all of us live, is to make that adjustment. Because someone has told you when you get up, when you eat, where you go, when you get time off, and all of a sudden you're making all your own rules. That's why some people, and I've watched this, will actually leave the military. They'll be out there doing it for a bit, and they go, you know what, I'm going back. Because even though I thought that was really hard, I liked the fact that I knew what was going to happen, man. Everything was organized. Everything had a place. Basically, you didn't have to think very much. Do you know that God, they got that idea from God? What did we talk about the last 2 weeks? Talked about one word, Shema. What does it mean? Hear, listen, and obey. What do you think that's about? Does it sound like maybe that's about breaking your will so you submit your will to God so that what God says, you do? Now, here's the problem is in the military, like Corey says, what happens if you question your CO? You don't. See, because you've seen somebody do it and you see what happens and you go, I don't want to go down there. Now, God doesn't work like that. You know, he's not going to put you in Iraq. He's not going to, you know, do whatever. He's not going to make you do KP for the next 6 months. So since we don't physically see something happen in our life, we're kind of like, you know, I mean, I'll do what I want to do. But to understand that the purpose here is, that's why we said it's the foundation. That if we don't get the foundation, that we need to learn to hear, listen, and to obey God so that it's not my will. Jesus said this when he was in the garden just before he went to be arrested and crucified. He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus, God himself, had to submit his will and walk down the road that took him to the death by crucifixion and to be raised again from the dead. Then how about us? So understand that what we talked about last week, it is the foundation. It's about us learning to submit our will so that when the Holy Spirit tells you something, you do it. Now, this is not so that God can control you, but it's the same thing that Corey just said. The purpose of basic training is to prepare you for battle. That's it. Now, a lot of times when we had years where there were times of peace and there really weren't any live, you know, battles going on, then it was all kind of theoretical. But see, in these days, people know. I used to live right next door to the largest Marine base in the United States, Camp Pendleton. We had a lot of Marines in our church, and they were constantly getting sent to Afghanistan, to Iraq, to wherever. These young guys knew that when they were going through basic training, they were being prepared for battle. I want to tell you something. That now is the time to engage in battle. I'm going to throw a lot of scripture at you today. So most of them we've got up on the screens, but you can grab a Bible off the floor if you brought yours. You know, you can flip through it, but we're going to go through a fair bit of scripture today. There's two things that I want us to look at about engaging in the battle. Now, we're not going to put on body armor and pick up an AK-47 and start taking people out, okay? Get that. It's a battle that's spiritual in nature, but it's not only just as real, it's more real because it deals with the things of eternity. See, this flesh, this vessel, will come and go. I mean, at some point, it'll be dirt. It'll be worm food, you know? I'm going to be, you know, we come as dirt, we leave as dirt, right? But our spirit will live forever. So the battle is for your spirit and my spirit. It says in Matthew 11, verse 12, this is one of those verses that I don't actually have it up here, but listen to it. It was always like confusing to me. Because it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Now this sounds like, you know, the SWAT team, you know, comes in and just, you know, storms the building and takes it over. But it's calling the battle that we're supposed to engage in. That there is a violent nature to it because it's dealing with eternity. Most of us know that Satan's job is what? To steal, kill, and destroy. Now, how many of you think any one of those are nice? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his mandate. Those all sound pretty violent in nature. And God says we're to take it back. It says the kingdom of God. Who's the kingdom? We're it. We're called to take it back. In Ephesians chapter 6, many of us know these verses, but this is so clear. Verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you've done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And then three verses in 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3 to 5, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We are in a battle. Now, whether you have recognized that and been engaged in the battle your whole life or for years, or for the first time you're hearing that today, understand we are in a battle. But one of the things, I've been a pastor for almost 20 years. And I know you guys are looking and go, man, you must have started when you were five, right? Yeah. Thank you. Courtesy laugh. But one of the things, I've been in a lot of places. I've walked in a lot of different countries. I've lived in some other countries. I've been in a lot of cultures. And I have never experienced the kind of battle that we have in this place. It's different. And now, that's not so unusual. Because, I mean, when you're in the military, I mean, is every battle the same? I mean, if you've followed history, is every war the same? Is it fought the same? Is it looked the same? Of course not. A lot of it's built on the people, the terrain, the kind of warfare. It's one of the struggles that we've had in going into Afghanistan is that we've had to learn how to fight in a way that we've never fought before. Because you don't know who the combatants are. It may be the kid walking across the street. It may be the mother pushing a stroller. It may be the old man walking with a cart. So they've had to learn an entirely new way of doing battle. I want to tell you the same thing is true here. See, one of the things it said there in Ephesians is that we might know the schemes, the tricks, the strategies of the enemy. You can't just determine, go, well, this is what worked over there, so we're going to bring it here. They tried that. It didn't work very well in Afghanistan. There's not a one-size-fits-all spiritual battle. Because the enemy is smart enough to use whatever he has at his disposal. It has these verses in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Listen to verse 8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. We've only been here in this place, my wife and myself, for 2 years. But one of the things that we have come to understand is this is where most of the battle is here. I'm not even talking all of New England, but certainly here in Harvard Square and Cambridge, this is it. This is one of the major things. It deals with the battle of the mind, rationalism, intellectualism, man's ability to understand. Again, is there value there? Yes. But when it's not submitted to Christ, it becomes what it's talking about here. Empty philosophies. Nonsensical thinking. Man's ideas. Man's philosophies. Spiritual ideas not involving Christ. See, one of the first things we just talked about for a soldier is to have their will broken so they will submit their will to their commanding officer. You know who our commanding officer is? Our commander in chief is Jesus Christ. And so we have to learn to submit ourselves to say, no longer my way, but your way. No longer my will, but your will. And then what they do is they begin to retrain the individual so that they will begin to think like a soldier. Most of us, our natural tendency is to not think like a soldier. But what do they do in basic training? They begin to retrain the way that you think. Now, some of you probably think, well, I don't like that. Oh, okay, I'm not here to debate that. But when we look at it in a spiritual context, understand God calls us to be people that have eyes that are open. He says that we would be alert and watch out for the devil who is like a roaring lion going around seeking whom he may devour. Now, a few years back, I was in Kenya, and we were out on a safari. We were out in the middle of the bush. It was awesome. We saw every animal imaginable. But we came on a pride of lions, and we were probably maybe about 20 feet from them. And we were in this van that the hood popped up, and so there's about this gap, about this much. And then there was one of them. We were actually sitting on top of the Jeep. And as we're sitting here watching these things, we weren't really afraid because there was an automobile between us and them. At any point in time, they could leave. But I was thinking, like, what if I was just walking around out here? Because we were driving across, we're just driving across here. And all of a sudden, we see a Maasai. And he's just, like, strolling, man. I mean, there's nothing around, you know. He's out in the bush, and he's just strolling. This is his homeland. This is where he lives. Let me tell you, I know that guy was aware of what was going on. I could get out there and I wouldn't know anything. But I guarantee you, he could tell you whatever was going on around him because he would be always alert. See, when you're put in a situation where you know life and death hang in the balance, somehow your ears just get a little more finely tuned. This is what God calls us to. That in the Spirit, we would allow him to finely tune our ears so that we can hear. Finally tune our eyes so that we can see. Oh, wait a minute. I've seen this. The enemy's tried that one before. He's trying to sneak that one in on me. No. He got that one over on me once. He's not going to get that one again. See, one of the things I see, the enemy does that between me and my wife. You know, he uses things that he knows and he gets in. And see, if we're not alert, if we're not watching, man, next thing you know, we just walk straight into it. Same things happen in your life. What's the enemy trying to do to mess you up? See, Romans 12, 1 and 2. A lot of these verses we know, but we got to say, God, what do they mean for me now? Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then listen, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There has to be a change in our thinking. If we continue to think the same way that we think, just whatever we see, whatever we know, walking that out, it says whatever we sow in the flesh, we'll reap in the flesh. Whatever we sow in the spirit, we'll reap in the spirit. It says then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God wants to change the way that we think. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. What he's saying is we're all called to be soldiers. We're all called to walk in submission to our commanding officer. It seems that one of the biggest challenges for both the military and for God's army is to help people to understand and see themselves as soldiers. Because I don't know about you, I mean, I'm like, dude, I never even want to fight when I was a kid. You know, I was a kid that got beat up all the time. I didn't beat anybody up. So it's like all of a sudden for me to see myself as a warrior. I mean, I love the idea of it. But the reality is, do we believe that we are soldiers in the army of God? That we're called to stand as his warriors in the field of things of eternity. Isaiah 42:13 says, the Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. You're like, whoa, that's talking about God. Whoa, God's kind of violent, man. What are you talking about? What about the gentle, mild, meek Jesus who went into the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and picked up a whip and chased them out? See, understand that when I feel I have to protect myself, that's my deal. But when I'm standing in the things of God, see, that's what it says in Ephesians 6, when you've done everything, stand. Stand your ground. But you got to have ground to stand on. Some of us, we don't even know what that would mean. We don't even know what that would mean. There is absolutely nothing in this life you would stand for, you would die for. Think about that for a minute. Is there anything you would actually die for? Because that's what God calls us to. Paul says that. To live is Christ, to die is gain. If it costs me everything, so what? One-way ticket to be with Jesus. And I'm not saying we got a death wish, but I'm saying, can we stand on something? I remember hearing something when I was a kid that it used to really bother me. Somebody said, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? It's like, ooh, I'm not sure. I remember hearing back in the day when it was during the Cold War and it was illegal to be a Christian in Russia, and where there was a meeting, it was an underground meeting where a church was taking place, and these men came in with machine guns and they said, okay, whoever is a Christian, stay here. Whoever's not, leave. And basically they were saying, you know, if you're a Christian, get ready to die. And so there was about half the people in the room, they left. And then the guys put down the guns and said, okay, now we can have church. Because they understood these are people that they're willing to give their life for who Christ is.
You've been listening to The Now Principle with Pastor Chris Gleason, the radio ministry of Revolution Church, where we are committed to being grounded in His Word and empowered by His Spirit. We invite you to visit us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. We meet at Lesley University's Brattle Campus in the Washburn Lounge, located at 10 Phillips Place, Cambridge, Mass. If you would like prayer or more information, call 617-441-0777 or visit hearlistenobey.com. This is a listener-supported program, and if you would like to partner with us, we invite you to go to hearlistenobey.com as we stand for God's Word and God's Spirit in Harvard Square.
Hi, this is Pastor Chris from Revolution Church. Thank you for listening to The Now Principle. We would like to personally invite you to join us for Easter service at 10:30 a.m. We meet at 10 Phillips Place in the Washburn Lounge on Lesley University's Brattle Campus. Go to hearlistenobey.com for more information. We hope to see you soon.